Hello, my name is Crystal and I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Aprende inglés gratis con mansioningles.com y englishpodcast.com.
Welcome everyone to episode 85 of Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig. I am Reza, and by my side I have Craig. Hello, Craig.
Hello, everybody. I'm Craig, and welcome to the podcast.
How are you doing, Craig?
Very well, thank you.
Well, now, Craig and I have over 40 years' experience between us, so we'd like to think we've learned a trick or two. If you're new to the podcast, we're very happy to have you. We're here to help you improve your English, your vocabulary, your grammar, and your pronunciation, and take it all to the next level. In this episode, 85, we'll be talking about news and current affairs vocabulary. Let's start with the news. Craig, what can you tell me about the word, the news?
The news is an uncountable noun. So you don't say a news. You say some news, I have some news, or a piece of news. So it's a bit confusing. There's an S at the end of the word. Mm-hmm. But it's uncountable.
So if you want to count it, you have to say a piece of news.
Exactly, and like a piece of paper. Or
two pieces of news.
A piece of advice. Exactly, oh, okay. Exactly. So it's an uncountable noun. I have good news, not I have a good news. I have bad news.
Or you could also say a news story. Then you can count the word story, right? A news story, two news stories, three news stories, etc.
Exactly. And traditionally, news, we used to get our news from a newspaper, or what people commonly say, a paper. Have you read the paper? Have you seen today's paper?
Craig, do you buy newspapers these days?
I can't remember the last time I bought a newspaper. Sometimes if I'm in a bar, if I'm having a coffee and there's a newspaper in the bar, I'll read it just quickly. Just look at the big titles at the top of a news story?
The headlines.
Yep. I'll read the headlines. I'll read the headlines of a daily paper. But no, I don't usually buy newspapers. Do you?
No, I don't. I used to in the past, but not much these days. And tell me, if you're in a bar reading a paper, would you tend to read a national paper or a local paper?
I read whatever's in there. I prefer national papers. I prefer getting world news. But if it's a local paper, then I'll see what's of local interest and I'll also read that. I do, you know what? I do enjoy reading local newspapers when I travel. I love finding out what's happening in the local area where I am. If I'm not living there, I like to find out what activities are happening, what news is happening in the local area in different countries. I'm fascinated by that.
And what type of paper do you prefer? A tabloid or a broadsheet? Maybe you better explain those terms.
Yes, in the UK, there are basically two kinds of newspapers. There are the very big newspapers that are sometimes difficult to open, and they tend to be more serious newspapers like the Daily Telegraph, The Guardian, The Times, and they're called broadsheets. And the other newspapers that tend not to be so serious, they tend to have sometimes naked women inside. Half of the newspaper is often sport, and the stories are, in my opinion, not so well written. They're called tabloids, T-A-B-L-O-I-D.
You mentioned the fact that some tabloid newspapers might have a picture of a topless woman. Hard to believe, but it's true. We might call that the gutter press. The gutter is a low place, la alcantarilla, la canaleta. So the gutter press is newspapers that focus on sensationalism. Sensational journalism. They're only interested in extreme sensations. They're not that worried about the true facts. So they talk about the lives of famous people, who's having an affair with who, who's getting divorced, who's done something they shouldn't. That's the gutter press.
And there was a very, there's a scandal recently in politics because some information was obtained illegally from famous people and famous politicians by phone tapping and using mobile phones to find out information that was then published in the gutter press.
So phone tapping means illegally listening in on people's phone conversations to tap a phone.
Correct. So a person who reports on the news is a reporter. And if you are a reporter who covers news stories, to cover a news story is to look into it, to investigate, to give news on a story. If you do this in another country, abroad, you are a foreign correspondent. So sometimes you hear of the BBC's foreign correspondent, someone who's in a different country and bringing the news back to their country.
So a foreign correspondent is a type of journalist. There are many types of journalists apart from a foreign correspondent. You could have a local correspondent, sports correspondent, etc. Craig, can you explain to the listeners what an anchor man or anchor woman is?
An anchor man in a news show like TV news or TV news show would be the main person who introduces the news. So the main person on the news show is the anchor man or anchor person.
In the studio?
In the studio. In the studio.
There might be one or sometimes there are two anchor men or two anchor women.
And then they'll maybe go by satellite to a foreign correspondent in another country. Be careful of the spelling of foreign. It's a difficult word to pronounce and spell. It's F-O-R-E-I-G-N. The pronunciation, foreign. Foreign. Of course, you have foreign news or international news, and you also have home news, news from your country, or national news, or even local news from your area.
Now, on the TV or radio or internet, they might talk about a news story or a piece of news. But if it's in a newspaper, they could also call it an article. An article, or on internet as well, I should say. An article is written text.
Right. If it's on the internet, I would call it a blog post.
Okay. If it's on a blog, but it could be in the Guardian's internet website, for example, then it would be an article, right? Because the Guardian's not a blog, it's a newspaper.
I think that's a grey area these days. I mean, is the Guardian website, is it a website or a blog? And what's the difference?
I think it's a website, although they have links to blogs who are journalists who work for them. But you can pay for the Guardian newspaper online.
And therefore, so it's an therefore it's an online newspaper.
Yeah, and you get articles.
Right. Now, if you buy a paper newspaper, you get supplements, especially at the weekends. Like a Sunday newspaper will often have supplements. What would a supplement be?
A supplement, something supplementary, something extra. For example, in Spain, El País on a Saturday gives a literary supplement only on a Saturday. An extra piece of paper or a little mini collection of pieces of paper together in the literary supplement.
Some supplements speak about travel, some supplements speak about cooking or home, etc.
Craig, they say that the circulation of printed newspapers is going down. What do they mean by that?
Circulation, the amount of people who are reading or buying the newspaper or magazine. So if a magazine or a newspaper has a large circulation, many people are reading it and looking at it. If the circulation is going down, then fewer people are buying it. Do you know, Reza, the Spanish newspaper that has the highest circulation in Spain?
Marca.
Correct. Very good.
Marca. Which is about sport.
La Marca.
Sports newspaper.
Yep.
And the highest circulation in the UK?
Don't know.
The Sun.
Is it?
Which is a newspaper which has a topless woman in page three, as Craig mentioned
earlier. It's a tabloid. It's a tabloid newspaper. Yeah. So the circulation, the people who read the newspaper or magazine, also called the readership. So if a magazine has a large readership, many people are reading it.
Craig, what's a proofreader?
Proof, P-R-O-O-F. Proofreader is a person who checks for errors, who looks for mistakes in a piece of writing. It's a good idea if you write a book or an article to get it proofread before you publish it. Get it checked by a professional proofreader.
Well, what's the difference between that, proofreader, and fact checker?
A fact checker just makes sure that the facts are correct. So if you're printing information, the fact checker will double check or triple check the facts to make sure they are correct. How do you say fecha tope? Let me try that again. How do you say fecha tope in English?
In English, that's deadline. So for most newspapers and other media that publish news, there are deadlines. That means the people who write the articles or the blogs need to have it done before a certain date because it has to be published or it has to be posted on internet. And that latest possible date and time, that is the deadline.
Of course, we also have deadlines as English teachers because we have to plan our lessons before they are scheduled. So we're on a deadline to plan our lesson.
Craig, what about the expression you have written in the notes but I've never heard before, to bury the lead? What does that mean?
The lead.
The lead, sorry.
To bury the lead means to bury the lead. Well, the lead story is the main story. So, right. For example, if you have a newspaper, the headline on the front page could be man buys dog. Not a very interesting story. Maybe the most important thing that happened that day was Russia invades Iraq. So you don't put that on the back page. You don't put that story in the middle of the newspaper because it's more important than the man buying the dog. So if you bury, enterrar, if you bury the lead, you hide the main story, the most interesting thing that happened. Bury the lead.
And to cover a story?
To cover a story, to report on an event or a development in something. So if you're a reporter and you go to Paris to cover the climate change summit, you're covering the story of the climate change summit. So you report on it. You cover the story.
Very often, Craig, they just report stories very superficially. They don't give many details. What's the opposite to that?
That's when you cover a story in depth. In depth, depth, D-E-P-T-H. So deep is the adjective, profundo, and depth is the noun. So an in-depth coverage of something is a thorough analysis of something, like really going down to the facts and the information of a story. You could say the bare bones, los huesos, the bare bones of a story. Yeah.
Not just focusing on the headline news, the thing like, man eats dog. But say, trying to find out, well, who is the man? Who was the dog? Why did he eat the dog?
Why was he hungry?
Yeah. And he better not eat Berta, I tell you that, or he's in big trouble. So going behind the headline news.
You often find that on some news sites where you get analysis, weekly analysis of top stories.
And Craig, what's breaking news?
Breaking news is news which is just coming in, news which is breaking or happening now. So it's immediate news. It's just happening and they're giving you reports as a story happens. It's breaking news.
Perhaps even eyewitness reports, people who are there at the scene.
Yes. What's your opinion of that? Because very often you'll read a story and then at the end they'll ask for an eyewitness report if you're at the scene, if you have a mobile phone. And many people write in. Do you trust their reports?
Not always. I think until they can properly verify all the facts, I don't 100% check.
What does verify mean?
To check that what they said is correct. Mm-hmm. All the dates, all the facts, all the information is as they say.
Yeah.
And particularly if it's an eyewitness who's not a professional journalist, Quite often they exaggerate, or they just make things up, or they get facts wrong. Sometimes journalists do as well. So until the facts have been verified by various sources,
including a fact checker,
precisely, then I don't like to believe what I hear immediately in the breaking news. Very often they say, like, oh, there's been a fire in such and such a place. Up to 500 people have died. Mm-hmm. And then you find out a week later that 20 people have died. They exaggerated.
But they did say up to, so yeah, technically. No,
but until it's been totally verified and they see how many bodies they've got in the hospital, etc., you know, until a fact checker has verified it, you can't be 100% sure.
Another expression which is similar to breaking news is hot off the press. If something is hot off the press, Reza, what does that mean?
It means it's just in.
Just in.
Which is something you hear in newspapers and also on TV. And
yeah, news just in.
Just in, that means we're just getting the information now. It's hot off the press.
News just in, man eats dog.
And quite often when news is just in, the anchor man or woman will say, oh, news just in of a bomb exploding in Manchester, for example. Now, over to our local
correspondent
in Manchester. Over to, that means now we're going to go live where we have a camera to speak to this local correspondent who is on the scene or at the scene. They are there where the news is happening, on the scene or at the scene.
Another expression I'd like to mention, which is connected to news, but also generally used on the internet, on websites, it's link bait, linkbait. Bait in Spanish is cebo, and it's like, es un enlace de internet cebo or anzuelo. And it's to attract people to a news story or a blog post or something by using not completely honest means. Yes. For example, this podcast is about teaching you to better understand English news. But if I put the blog title as Tragedy for Podcasters in News Scandal in Valencia, that would be falsely attracting people to come and listen to the podcast. So we call that link bait. It's a link bait. It's not completely true. It's dishonest.
Quite often you get it in blog pages in the form of lists or things you should know. For example, the 10 things you must do to be a successful lover. And then if you're stupid enough to follow the link bait, you'll find out that one of them is be nice to the person.
Make them a cup of tea in the morning.
Things that you knew since you were 10 years old, and really they don't tell you much at all.
Some more vocabulary with news in it. There's news agent in the UK. News agent is someone who sells newspapers, vendedor de periódicos. And then there's newsagents with an S, apostrophe S, which is the actual shop. So newsagent with a T is the person who sells the newspapers and magazines, and newsagents with an S is the shop or place where you buy it. Also a newsstand. A newsstand is an independent place in the street, usually next to a railway station, in the centre of the city, which is like a kiosco de prensa.
But with a physical building.
It's really, really small. Have you seen them in London? I don't know if they have them in Belfast, but they're usually next to underground stations or train stations. And it's not exactly a shop, but there's a man in a small place with magazines around him, like a kiosco.
You know what I say about those people?
What?
Lucky. They're lucky. They don't know how lucky they are.
Not in the winter, mate. It's freezing.
Well, Len Craig, how would you describe the people who had a job like me, which is outside a metro station selling newspapers, without even the room?
Was that when you were in Berlin?
Yep. What would you call those unlucky devils? A little wooden hut? Luxury. Luxury, I tell you. They don't know how lucky they are. I had a board where I put the title of the headline of the day's news and the newspapers in a bag. That's it. And I had to stand outside in the elements. No room, no nothing beside the S-Bahn or U-Bahn station in Berlin in winter.
Was that in East Berlin or West Berlin?
Both. Selling the newspaper. Now, that's what I call a tough job. That's only a job for tough guys like me. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody.
Did you do it in the winter?
Yep. Wow. It was from November to March, I think. A Berlin winter is cold and snowy, believe me.
Wow.
So those guys who have a little hut, a little cabin, they're spoiled. They're the soft guys.
A person who reads the news is, unsurprisingly, a newsreader. A newsreader in the UK or a newscaster in the US.
Or presenter, maybe, as well. News presenter.
News presenter, possibly. Presentador de noticias. Newsreader or newscaster. And noticia is a news item, an item of news. As we said at the beginning, an item of news or a piece of news. And the English for programa informativo?
A news report or a news story.
Mm-hmm.
Or in American English, perhaps a newscast.
Yep, newscast. And a very, very short piece of news that is like breaking news happening now is a news flash on the TV. A news flash.
Quite often news flashes are just written. You see them go across the bottom of the screen very quickly. That can be a news flash.
Yep. So where can you go to learn more about news and improve your understanding of the news in English? Well, one suggestion, if you go to La Mención del Inglés at mentioningles.com in our intermediate course, lessons 17 and 18 are about the news. So there's lots of vocabulary readings and listenings for you to do in our intermediate course. And I'll put the links to those two lessons in the show notes at inglespodcast.com/85. Also, you could go to YouTube at BBC Learning English. There are special programs that the BBC make for people learning English. Now, the vocabulary seems a bit difficult at first, but if you listen to a few of these BBC news broadcasts, the words repeat frequently in news stories. Do you agree with that, Reza?
Yep.
You hear the same vocabulary repeating, like terrorist attack and inflation, and the words, you'll get used to the words and become comfortable with the language of news very quickly. But it will be a little difficult if you're not used to listening to the news. So again, I'll put links to that BBC video series in the show notes to this episode. And if you prefer American accent, there's the VOA Learning English website and YouTube videos. And VOA is Voice of America. I'll put a link to that also in the show notes at inglespodcast.com/85. Now, you can listen to the ordinary, usual BBC news that's broadcasted every hour or every half an hour?
Every hour.
Every hour, there's a summary. It usually lasts about 5 minutes, and it's the five-minute bulletin.
Bulletin. There's a bulletin. Yeah.
It's a bulletin. And it's from the BBC World Service that you can listen to on iPlayer in any country. And I'll put a link to that also in the show notes. It's World Service Radio at bbc.co.uk. Now, that will be more difficult because it's not news that's adapted for students of English. So what I suggest is just first count how many news stories you can hear. How many separate pieces of news are there? And then maybe the second time, what are they about? Can you hear the name of a country? Can you hear a city? Can you hear a particular problem? Any names of people? Just try to get pieces of information and listen to the news bulletin as often as you can. And again, you will get used to it very, very quickly. Reza, any more advice about listening to the news in English?
I think you've covered all the useful websites. Now it's up to the listeners just to listen to some news and ask themselves questions, perhaps what, where, who, when, why, how. Did you get the main information? For example, at the minute, sadly, Syria is in the news all the time. Isn't it terrible what's happening in Syria? The next time you hear a story about the civil war in Syria, see if you can answer the fundamental questions. Who are they talking about? What are they doing? Why are they doing it? When did they do it? Where did they do it? They are the main questions that a good reporter tries to answer. So if you've understood the story well, you should be able to answer them as well.
Exactly. And obviously, listening to the news will improve your listening skills. But also for small talk, news is a very neutral way, a very good way, in my opinion, to start speaking to somebody that you don't know very well, maybe that you meet for the first time. And you can speak about the news. So you could ask something like, isn't it terrible what's happening in Syria? Get their opinion. Have you heard how bad the weather is in the UK, for example? Or what about Valencia last week? Did you see the game? Just saying that one sentence will start a conversation. I'm sure people have an opinion on football, for example, or on the weather or on politics. Who do you think will win the election? So if you know a little about the news, it's a neutral subject that you can use to start small talk and get somebody's opinion.
Craig, where do you tend to get your news from? Where do you get your information from?
I don't follow the news very closely. I do like to know what's happening in international news. And for that, I either go to the BBC News website, or I have two apps on my mobile phone. I have the BBC News app and another app by Reuters, the news agency, that I like very much. You can choose what kind of news you want to see when you open the app. So you can go into international news or local news or sports. So I mainly get my news from apps on the phone or through the website. I don't tend to watch news on television. And I don't tend to listen to the radio.
What about Twitter?
Yes, I'm following Voice of America, BBC. I'm following CNN on Twitter. So I do look at tweets. And if something's interesting, then I'll click through to read the blog post on the website. And if I notice that something really important's happening, I'll go directly to the BBC website or the CNN website to verify it. What about you? Do you watch news in Spanish? Do you listen to the radio?
I listen to the radio every day, yes. Quite often just to have some background sound while I'm doing other things like cooking or having a shower or something like that. I'll have the radio in the background, very often a Spanish radio. And then not every day, but some days I watch the news on TV. A mixture, sometimes BBC, sometimes American, CNN perhaps, or sometimes Spanish stations, a bit of a mixture.
Do you ever read magazines like Time or Newsweek?
Very, very rarely. And you?
I used to read Time. I had a friend who wrote, she was a columnist, a columnist for The Economist.
She wrote a column.
That's difficult to say. She wrote a column. She was a columnist for The Economist magazine. And she got me free copies. So every time I saw her, she gave me two or three free copies. And I used to read them. And every so often, back in the UK, I used to buy a Time or a Newsweek because they summarized the news stories. They went in depth. They gave some in depth reporting on particular news stories.
Craig, what's your opinion on citizen journalism?
I think it's a good thing because very often the public they're in situations where journalists are not. So when there's breaking news, there's often somebody there with a mobile phone, and these days you can take photos, take video, record your voice as something's happening. But you got to be careful because, you know, you've got to get it sort of checked. The fact checker's got to go in there, make sure it's real, make sure it's not a dishonest report. Got
to verify everything.
To verify. But it must be the fastest, most effective way of getting news to the public if it can be verified.
Yes. Of course, in some cases, in some country where there may not be freedom of the press or freedom of expression, that means where you cannot tell stories exactly as they happen because the government won't let you. Citizen journalism is sometimes a better option than the official newspapers or websites.
Well, it was very effective in Syria and Iraq, wasn't it, during the revolution there?
Right.
Okay, any other points on news or...?
No, it's back to you, which is a very common expression which anchormen use. First they say, over to our foreign correspondent in Manchester. Then he talks. When they finish, the foreign correspondent in Manchester says, back to the studio.
Okay, and now so it's over to Reza to wrap up this episode.
Well, Craig, the only thing...
Back to you, Reza.
Okay, thanks, Craig. Just before we go...
I think there's some breaking news.
Some breaking news about...
Our sponsor.
Our sponsor, a great way to improve your English, italki.com. italki.com is a great place online where you can get cheap, convenient, good quality classes in English or indeed any other language you want to learn. Craig, can you tell us a few more advantages to using italki?
Well, the main thing is you're going to get a native speaker. Now, if you're learning English, that could be a native American speaker. That could be a native British English speaker, Australian, but somebody who actually speaks the language. And you can't get better experience at speaking practice than speaking with a native English speaker who will correct you, who will guide you. And in my personal experience with italki learning Spanish, we'll prepare a lesson also based on the areas that you need to improve. That could be vocabulary, grammar, maybe pronunciation. The teacher will prepare the lesson, will help you to express yourself and increase your fluency and correct you when you need a bit of guidance and correction. So we both recommend italki as a wonderful way to improve your English.
If there's nothing in particular that you want to focus on italki, why not talk about the news? Ask your teacher if you can talk about current affairs or news stories.
You already have the vocabulary because we've just been speaking about it. We'd like to thank italki very much for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. And now it's your turn to practice your English. How do you get your news? Have you heard any good news lately? Because we're always hearing bad news and we're hearing about tragedies. Why not tell us about something good that you've heard about or that's happened to you? Send us a voice message and tell us what you think. The way to do that is to go to speakpipe.com/Inglés podcast. That's speakpipe.com/Inglés podcast and record your voice on the audio. Send us an email if you prefer writing with a comment or a question to me, Craig, at inglespodcast.com.
Or you could write to me at belfasttreza@gmail.com.
And on next week's episode, pronunciation. We're going to look at silent letters in some English words. Until then, have a wonderful week. Thank you for listening. It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.